You're listening to All Marine Radio, broadcasting from Costa Mesa, California, on the All Warrior Radio Network. Happy New Year's Eve to everybody out there. The last day of 2019, 2020, on the horizon. Not on the horizon, on the doorstep. Interesting stuff going on in Iraq. And again, as I said in the past, if you believe in coincidences in that part of the world, you're a fool. So, the rocket attack, right? And you've heard Jeff Kenney talk about the fear that, you know, you have advisors in situations that are going to be difficult to try to protect. So Iran, you know, you play in the world of military operations, you say, you know, action, reaction, counteraction, and there's this spiral that happens, right, relative to that. And so make no mistake, the Iranians, it's like, hey, if we do this, what will be the American response? Well, they'll do this. They typically will do this. All right, and then what will we do? And so to me, you know, this is Marco Rubio said, look, the Iranians don't back this, okay? The people that are saying that are wrong. They direct this, all right? And so it's much more deliberate than anybody, you know, than anybody thinks. So, so good morning to you on New Year's Eve. Yeah, so, and then essentially, you know, what happens in Baghdad or some other place where there's an American embassy, right? You reinforce that. Obviously you should, right? And if you read stories coming out of this that there was people that were directing what the quote-unquote protesters were doing. Right? They weren't protesters. Those were militiamen. Okay, some in uniform. And so, anyhow, yeah, interesting. And so, do we reenact the Iranian hostage thing? This time, do you open up with machine guns on people that are going to overrun your embassy? What do you do? So, I mean, it's from, you know, the Marine Corps has this philosophy of maneuver warfare. And the essence of maneuver warfare is you want to put your enemy on the horns of a dilemma, as it's known. You can either die this way or you can die this way, but die you will. And as a result of that, you you compel their surrender. Okay, and you've done this through means other than, you know, they might be some kinetic, but you haven't engaged in this general attrition, quote, model of warfare. And so, the Iranians, right, that's a warning to the United States, what you saw today. That's a warning. And the warning is, next time we'll come for your embassy. So where are the Iraqi security forces? They just stand aside? And they didn't enter the embassy compound. They entered the area around that and they started fires. It looks like tires or some shit. So Mount Palm branches, as I'm watching video of it right now. And you see Iranian or Iraqi soldiers standing around. So Iraq, the crooked tale that gets told is an odd place. And so I'm surprised, and you can read much about who remains silent. So did the United States engage targets inside of Iraq without telling the Iraqi military? I would find that at this day and stage of the relationship, I'd find that pretty surprising. That, you know, we identified targets, we had a course of action, it would involve, right, shooting into Iraq, and that we didn't get that cleared or somehow coordinate that, deconflict it with the Iraqis. I don't know that we operate like that anymore. That in the world this morning, so we'll keep our eye on that. But again, make no mistake about it. All that is as Tehran is trying to survive protests that were going on in Lebanon, protests that were going on in Baghdad, protests that were going on inside of Iran, where hundreds, probably numbers approaching 1,000 people had been killed because of it. And so the Iranian regime not doing its best work. So whenever, again, the attack on the Iranian oil refinery was an attempt to do this. Now, the problem with this latest rocket attack was that it killed an American and wounded other, it killed an American contractor and wounded. So you couldn't, the most deadly course of action is to let the Iranians strangle. And so we'll see if the Iranians decide to escalate this. Now, to me, they would be foolish not to. Well, why would you say that, Mac? Well, I say that because, you know, we have this hard facility in Baghdad. What can they do with that? Right? Because it's a pretty easy fix. If the Iraqis don't step aside, there is no protest. Right? If the Iraqis say, sorry, that road's closed, sorry, you can't get there, then there is no protest. And let me tell you, when they want to put down a protest, they know how to put down a protest. They don't have any problem putting down a protest. So, yeah, the heavy hand rules the roost. So, today is New Year's Day, or New Year's Eve. So, Happy New Year's Eve to everybody. Happy New Year to everybody coming up tonight. And 2020. What will it hold in store? I can just tell you personally, from my perspective, I mean, 2019 was a life-changing year for me. It started the first week of January, and it's lasted until this second. Let me read you Let me read you an email I got last night. This is from, you heard an interview with a corporal by the name of Andrew. Andrew watched his mom die of cancer when he was 11. He was hit in the head with a shot, with a discus. If you haven't heard the interview, just go to the All Marine Radio webpage and go to the podcast page. You don't even have to go to the podcast page. You just have to go to the, just go to the website, and in the search page, just type in Andrew, and you'll see a Marine. It says, no results found. Well, if you spell Andrew right, that probably helps. Oh, how crazy is that? And it's the top entry. It says, post-traumatic winner. The inspiring story of Corporal Andrew, United States Marine Corps. Listen to that. Now there's a series of interviews with Andy Milburn. His name's Andrew too, but that's not the one I want you to listen to. This is a corporal by the name of Andrew. So last night, my daughter-in-law Susie's last night was supposed to be kids' night to make dinner. That was kind of code for Susie's gonna cook. So anyhow, that's what happened, and which is always a good thing. Susie's a great cook. Anyway, so I'm sitting there, and you know, I'm helping out. You know, do you have this? Do you have olive oil? Do you have this in the house? Do you have this? And so I'm just kind of staying out of Susie's way and helping where I can. And so. I'm sitting there, and I get a text message, and this is the text message. All right. Yeah, these are the kind of things that happen to me that, you know, are the reason my life has been in the last year, and it's not going to slow down, which I love. So this is from Andrew. Hey, Mac, just wanted you to see this because I've been talking with someone who was a victim of assault a couple of years ago, and through talking with them, they have been able to change for the better and grow from the experience rather than be torn down by it like they were before. The gratitude they show is what makes it all worth it. This was the text to me, colon, quote, as sorry as I am that you go through it too, it makes me feel better knowing that I'm not alone in it. I know we talked about it before, but it's like the whole one bad day doesn't negate a bunch of good days thing. I'm just trying to keep reminding myself of that. There is so much to look forward to, and we both are stronger because of what happened. You are right. I hit a point in June this year where I realized it had been 4 years since the first time I was assaulted, and I was upset with myself because I thought that time would heal it all and it would be like nothing happened. But talking with you now, I know that it will never go away, and that's okay. It makes me better and stronger, and it's part of the journey. I'm retraining myself to have someone I'm retraining myself to have someone as amazing as you who has been so supportive and open and non-judgmental. That is completely opposite of the reaction I had with the other person I told about it and was made to feel like the subject was taboo and something not to talk about. Being able to talk to you about it has made me feel normal, has made such a huge difference in the way I process it, and you know it means the absolute world to me that you don't think differently of me because of it. We both have our things, and we're both so unique and strong and amazing, even if they were very different things. And there is nothing I love more than the fact that we can understand and be there for each other. You always know what to say to ground me and make me feel better. Thank you for everything. I'm so insanely thankful for you. You know, and so that's what my, those things are what my life has been like for the last year. And it happened because of All Marine Radio. It happened because of all kinds of things that have happened in my life. All kinds of people that have come on this program and they've shared their stories. And I have, you know, through the lens of my own personal experience, aggregated those stories and then created this thing called post-traumatic winning. And, you know, I mean, you can imagine sitting in your kitchen, dinner's getting made, you're with your family, and like your day's already, you know, you're already having a great day, and then that happens. And your day just gets a million times better. So yeah, I mean, if 2020 is going to be better than 2019, I'm all about it. So, United States Marine Corps band makes today official. Good morning to everybody out there, and obviously, Happy New Year. To everybody out there that has touched my life in 2020. Yeah. And in the spirit of Andrew, who sent me a text message last night, I mean, I have literally got hundreds of those messages over the course of the year. And every one of them has had a profound effect on me. And at the end, they always thank me for what I've done for them. And so, to me, you know, this is dedicated to everybody who's sent one of those messages. To all the people that have been touched by post-traumatic winning this year. To Major General Dave Furness, who was very adamant that he was going to do something different with the 2nd Marine Division. And I think in doing something different with the 2nd Division, he has opened the door to other people following that same path because of their success. And so this is dedicated to all those people that have had such a profound impact on my life and then in turn on the lives of other people. So well done. Merry Christmas. Happy New Year.
Our flag comes through to men. You're betraying your whole life if you don't say what you think, and you don't say it honestly and bluntly.
What keeps you awake at night?
Nothing. I keep other people awake at night.
For this campus had prepared him well. I'm very confident that, thank you very much. If this was vodka, it'd be a lot better speech. But I'm not supposed to glamorize alcohol anymore, so young folks, you ignore what I just said.
We just have to execute. And we are executing every day, and Sergeant Major and I are very proud of what you do. Doesn't mean we can't get better. We don't want to make a mistake to learn. We don't want to lose to learn. We cannot lose if we have to go fight. We got to do what these Marines did here 75 years ago. Persevere against difficult, challenging conditions and odds and win. You got to win.
Time to check weather across Marineland. Now, you know what? I have to... Current time. I said I would do this before the show, and then F-18 man showed up. Yeah, I'm sitting in here. All of a sudden, Patrick opens the door, and here's Rudy. I'm like, "What are you doing in my house, man?" And he said, "Hey, bro, what's up?" And he has my Marine Corps colors in his hand. And truth be told, it was windy here last night, and we said, hey, man, your flag was all jacked up. So, yeah, F-18, man, here for a few minutes. Okay, so let me do current time. Current time in Hawaii is 6:23 a.m. Okie. Bear with me while I do this live on the air. Mac, it's not very professional. Oh, really? We're going to go there. Okinawa, current time is 1:25 a.m. And from there, where do we go? We go to Afghanistan. Current time in Kandahar. 8:55 p.m. Yeah, see that? See the weird thing? They're like a half hour. And then Iraq. Hold on. We'll only have to do this once. And then I'll set my little thing. Current time in. I think Iraq is 9 hours. Survey says 7:26, which would make it 11 hours. Damn it. Later in both places than I thought. Okay, so now let me do the weather here, now that I have my shit together. Yes, now I can do it. Without the weather, come on, I can't do it in silence. Because I got to do weather and shithole weather. Currently, it is cloudy and 48 degrees in Quantico, right, where it's 11:26, just in case you don't know. Camp Lejeune is sunny and 56, so it's cooled off there a little bit. And it's 11:56 there. No, 11:26. Oops. In 29 Palms, it is cloudy and 47 degrees, so it's warmed up there a little bit. In Camp Pendleton, it is partly sunny and 60, so warmed up there substantially. Camp Smith in Hawaii, where it's 2 hours behind West Coast time. That's all right, just so you have that right. So it is 6:27. It is dark, cloudy, and 69 degrees. In Okinawa, where it's 1:27 in the morning, dark, cloudy, and 60 degrees. No significant weather to report anywhere in Marineland today. In the Helmand province of Afghanistan, where it is 8:57 right now. It is dark, cloudy, and 47 in the provincial capital of Lashkar Gah, and in Ramadi, where it is 7:23 p.m., right, west of Baghdad, where they had the big protest today, completely choreographed by the IRGC. Yeah, just in case you don't know that. It is clear, dark, and 55 degrees in Ramadi. At your home, at the corporate headquarters of All Marine Radio, it is partly cloudy, 64 degrees. Looking for a high of 71 today. Yeah. ...67 tomorrow, 66 on Thursday. That is Look at Your Weather. We'll take a break. When we come back, Bob Nielsen is going to join us. Yeah, send the year out with the man, the myth, the legend himself, the one and only Robert Nielsen. So he'll join us, and we'll get to talk to Bob. And then I think we're going to do more Tin Can Sailor stuff, the Battle of Samar. We've been kind of looking at that, and Ohio Man, he's kind of a dork, but he sends me good stuff. And so he sent me this thing, and it's a really good explanation of the battle. And, you know, and I will tell you a couple of sidebar notes. One is Halsey never, ever, ever got the credit that he deserved for fucking that thing up to start, for creating the opportunity and falling exactly for what the Japanese thought that he would do. And Halsey should, I mean, he could have got, you know, a substantial part of that landing force, you know, destroyed. And his reputation is protected throughout the course of the war. It's protected after the war. In fact, if you watch the whole series Victory at Sea about the Battle of Lady Gulf, yeah, you don't hear that, you know, you hear Halsey's name spoken reverently. Yeah, it's like total bullshit. It is. The Victory at Sea thing, you know, there's a moderate amount of fiction in there. And that's what we got fed as a nation. Kind of interesting. Last night, we are sitting around hanging out. And the Judy Garland version of A Star is Born was on with James Mason. And I was like, I'm not following the plot of this. And so I said, you guys care if I change this? Let me put on the Barbara Streisand version. Right? I mean, that's a pretty, you know, how do I say it? A pretty decorated movie. Well, I turned it on. It sucks, man. Honestly, I mean, here's what surprised me. It was a very, you know, it was a good movie back when it came out. It was won Academy Awards. I'm not sure. Hold on. A Star is Born. It's Streisand. Something like that. Did it win Academy Awards? Awards. Golden Globe Award for Best Score. People's Choice Award for Favorite Movie, 1977, Barbara Streisand. So it did not win an Academy Award. That's interesting. Barbara Streisand won a Golden Globe for Best Actress. Kris Kristofferson won a Golden Globe for Best Actor in a Motion Picture. Best Picture, Golden Globe. Yeah, John Peters, who I believe, wasn't that Barbara Streisand's significant other? So, yeah. But I was watching it last night. It's like it sucks, not very good. I don't know why, but I was surprised. I thought, you know, that was a good movie. Yeah, 40 years later, it ain't. All right, we'll take a break. Bob Nielsen will join us next. More of All Men Radio coming up on New Year's Eve, right here on your home for it, the All Warrior Radio Network.
America's injured and critically ill service members face incredible challenges every day of their lives. Since 2004, the Semper Fi Fund has helped thousands of service members and their families with both immediate and long-term needs. Join the Semper Fi Fund in supporting American heroes. They've given so much. Now it's our turn. Learn how your tax-deductible donation makes a real difference in their lives at SemperFiFund.org.
All you veterans, listen up. This is Bob Nielsen, former Marine and founder of 100 Entrepreneurs Project. Turner Construction is looking for veterans with real-world leadership experience to join their team of professionals.
Hold on, Nielsen. Are we talking about a job or a career?
Matt, Turner Construction is a great company with global opportunities for veteran leaders who are looking to start professional careers. I know. I returned to Turner after I got back from Vietnam and retired after 50 years. I had a great career traveling the world leading teams of Turner employees as we built incredible projects.
Are they looking for me to have construction experience, Bob?
Absolutely not. Turner is looking for leaders who have led under pressure. We want leadership. So if you're led in Iraq or Afghanistan or any other contingency, Turner Construction is actively looking for you.
So, a career with competitive pay, good benefits, and a company seeking veteran leaders. That's what we're talking about.
Bingo. We're on the right road when a grunt can understand it. Good job, Mac.
I appreciate that there, Nielsen. How do I get the ball rolling? What do I do?
Just email your resume to jobs@allmarineradio.com, and I will personally contact you and we'll begin the process.
I love it. Turner Construction is looking for veteran leaders who are looking for careers to join their veteran-friendly team. Email Bob Nielsen at jobs@allmarineradio.com. Let's do it.
A message from DAV to all returning veterans. Thank you. Thank you for doing your duty. Thank you for doing our bidding. Thank you for laying it all on the line. Thank you for stepping up and not backing down. Thank you for putting your future on hold to put our enemies on notice. Thank you for putting your buddies' lives ahead of your own. Thank you for putting yourself in harm's way. Thank you for defending our freedom, for displaying your honor, for being a hero, even though you don't want to be called one. For all this and more, DAV thanks you, and we're here to help you. Expert DAV advisors will make sure you get the health, disability, and financial benefits you were promised and earned. If you're a veteran, visit DAV.org for free help. And again, thank you.
I'm good, but I have a story, and I don't know where to start.
I'm good, but I feel alone in the crowd.
I'm good, but the past keeps coming back.
When the service member or veteran in your life says,
I'm good.
Are you really listening?
I'm good, but I can't get out of bed.
I'm good, but I can't sleep.
I'm good, but I feel overwhelmed.
I'm good, but I don't feel safe.
I'm good, but I still have nightmares.
I'm good, but I don't need any help.
I'm good, but I don't feel anything anymore.
I'm good, but I can't live like this anymore.
I'm really not so good. But are you ready to listen?
Suicide prevention is everyone's responsibility. Listen to the veteran or service member in your life. If you are in crisis or know someone who is, call the Veterans Crisis Line and Military Crisis Line at 1-800-273-8255 and press 1 for free 24/7 confidential support.
Hi, I'm Colleen McNamara, and you're listening to My Dad on All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network.
I wanna walk in to a cold, bitter ocean, feel the sting of letting go of all hope and soak in the air.
8:37 on Tuesday, New Year's Eve. Bob Nielsen joins us. Morning, Bob. How are you? Oh, hold on. There he is. How are you, Bob?
Good morning, Matt. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. Where are you at today? Are you at home in Annapolis, or you out and about?
Eastern Shore, Maryland, looking out at a cornfield. At home.
What, you live in a rural area?
Oh, yeah. We're out there. We're about 20 miles east of the Bay Bridge, east of the Chesapeake Bay. It's mostly farmland around here, but it's a retirement community. It's all farts.
Got it. What, you got big plans for New Year's Eve?
We're meeting a couple of friends for dinner at 6 o'clock, and I intend to be home in bed by 8:30.
8:30?
Sound asleep.
What? Isn't 8:30 a little bit early?
No, that's my normal time.
Come on. Like, what time do you get up? 3 in the morning?
5:30.
Holy shit, you sleep for 9 hours a night?
Yeah, I gotta make up because you don't get any sleep, so I'm making up for you.
You gotta even out the universe?
That's right.
Well, that's awesome. No wonder. I didn't know you were that concerned about my sleep because you text me like at like 4:30 in the morning, California time all the time.
And I always get an answer. That's the beauty of it.
I know. So why, if you were so concerned about people's sleep, would you do something like that?
Well, I'm just watching out for your health.
There you go. The world according to Bob. So what have you been doing? You've been going to, as usual, you've been going to Walter Reed.
Yeah, I was over there yesterday. I was over there on Friday. It's pretty quiet, as you can imagine, around the holidays. But had a chance to talk to some of the patients and some of the staff and have a good conversation with them. Not so much talk, but listen to what they have to say. It'll be 18 years next week I paid my first visit.
Really?
Yeah. Snuck in the back door of Bethesda Naval Hospital and talked to Marine Liaison and said, let me go up and talk to a couple of wounded. So they took me to ICU where everybody was unconscious and on tubes and lines and had no clue I was even there.
Wow.
So I said, get me down to inpatient where they're at least breathing.
And the rest is history. When do you start the 100 entrepreneurs?
I started my visits 18 years ago. I started the 100 entrepreneurs about 12 years ago. But before that, I was getting wounded vets intern jobs with Turner while they were still patients in rehab, and then getting them career jobs. And before that, I actually put together a scholarship with a bunch of real estate people, raised a couple of $100,000, and we helped vets go back to school. But as you know, the VA does a pretty good job of that.
Oh, yeah, they...
So my program has evolved as time has gone on.
Talk to me about... But the sequence of it is you retire... And you're still involved in finding vets jobs, and then you start 100 entrepreneurs.
Yeah.
That's the sequence of it.
I started with a scholarship, and then I started getting vets jobs. While they're still on active duty, we can't pay them, so they were unpaid interns, and we were building the amputee center at Walter Reed, and we built the brain injury center at the new Walter Reed, and we were building Fort Belvoir Hospital, so we would get them jobs. And then we gradually evolved into classes about starting your own business and becoming an entrepreneur.
Got it.
And the more I did that, the more I realized by being over there and listening to vets and helping them start a business that keeps their mind occupied is kind of walking along the same path that All Marine Radio is with post-traumatic living.
Yeah, I mean, 2019... post-traumatic winning is born, essentially, it's unnamed and unknown, but it's born in 2016 when the program makes its debut, and then the accumulated lessons in 2018 are what have me, in my mind, I say, I've got to share this. I meet Libby, I meet Luke, and I change I talk to Luke and just say, yeah, you got to stop drinking. And so anyway, that kind of turns into, I'm still having, I know what I know, but the thing I don't understand really is the profound effect that you are having on people's lives as you change lives. The domino effect, really, that what you're giving, doing to other people. And so that was kind of the final piece of it. And really, in my opinion, you know, the most significant piece of it and is the piece that Libby taught me. And so since then, starting in January, the first week in January of 2019, I mean, 2019, probably one of the most significant years of my life because it's just been so life changing. And I mean, to include an email I got from a corporal last night about,
I heard you talk about
it. Yeah. I mean, it's just positively amazing, you know, that.
Well, what's intriguing to me, Mac, you asked me if I could be on 24 hours ago. I was thinking about it and what I've learned over the past year. And I, along with a lot of others, giving you a lot of credit for being a great talk show host and talking about subjects that nobody else talks about. But I think the reason post-traumatic winning has taken over what you do is you're an exceedingly good listener. And you listen to these vets with problems and frustrations that have been through trauma, and you pay attention to them. And it's not like a recorded goddamn 30-minute seminar that you got to check off the box and not attend it twice a year. You really listen to these people. And that's why you get the vets calling in and talking to you. And, you know, God, look at last week when you had Lynch on opening up his inside chapters, talking about what he's been through. And it was like watching a book unfold. But that's what really makes all of Marine Radio and post-traumatic winning work. And 100 entrepreneurs is walking in lockstep alongside, because if we can get this vet with the empty space in his head thinking about something positive that he can do with his life, and not just sitting there drinking beer watching TV, you're gonna have a solution. You're not gonna have a problem.
And then you're gonna have somebody else out there solving other people's problems. And that's, to me, is
exactly.
Even that email that Andrew sent me this morning was ripe with that. And what it's ripe with is, I didn't know that there wasn't anything wrong with me, right?
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, I meet somebody who changes the way I look at this whole event, with some pretty fundamental basic truth guidelines, if you will. And so it's this magical truth that comes out of our veteran community that, you know, which I love so much, and guys have been so significant in my life. And then, but these are my people, you know, the land of misfit toys. And I think anybody, you know, most people in life, and that's what you're slowly but surely learning, is that everybody dealing with it. You know, and Tim Lynch was amazing in that, I mean, he and I are friends, you know, and
yeah.
I'm not one of Timmy's closest friends, but, you know, we've been friends since 1990, and I didn't know. And I will tell you what, I continue on a daily basis to get emails about that interview. And I just forwarded him to Tim. And
I've listened to it three times. I was shaken when I was listening to him. And I wrote him an email right afterwards and said, Jesus Christ, I wish I heard that 55 years ago when I got back to Vietnam.
Right.
And it was like watching a book open up in front of you.
Right. And you know, and he sent me a note afterwards thanking me for it and saying I needed to do that. And
you
know, and that's, you know, you know, the things that I've learned in the last year is, and I don't like the whole phrase, you know, you got to tell your story. To me, that's not what this is. It's not just you standing up and telling your story. It's you using your life experiences to touch the lives of other people. And that's different from you standing up and telling your story.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Because telling war stories, what the shit does that mean?
Yeah, that's
but
just...
And, you know, the other interesting thing, Mac, is what you do, it doesn't make a goddamn difference whether you are a Lance Corporal or a Bird Colonel. You're all dealing with the same shit.
Well, and I'll tell you what, and this is what a female captain told me this in Quantico, maybe in April, maybe in March, I can't remember. She looked at me and she said, you know, I've been to a bunch of these things. And she walks up and she says, I want to give you a hug. And I said, yeah, I don't hug anybody. She said, what? She said, everybody hugs. I said, I don't. I'm old, okay? I shake hands. You want to shake my hand? She said, no, I want to hug you. I said, well, you would be out of luck then. And she looks at me and she goes, Mac! And I'm like, all right, I'll give you a hug. So, right? So she looks at me and she said, I said, now why are you hugging me? She said, I've been to a lot of these things. I'm a logistician. I've got two deployments to Iraq. But one of them I spent in Kuwait, you know, doing logistics, you know, getting stuff, you know, going into Iraq and what. And I don't have these experiences. And I don't feel, you know, they don't apply to me. She said, but I was raped. And this is the first place I've ever felt like I was treated as an equal. She got tears running down her face.
Sure.
And she says, I just wanted to thank you for that. And so it doesn't discriminate whether you were abused as a child, and people have heard me tell the different stories of, you know, people that have shared with me that they were raped as a kid and never talked about it. You know, arguably the easiest ones are the ones from combat because they're the most acceptable ones that you can talk about. But I can tell you for a fact, just me personally, I didn't share some of the stuff in my family. I didn't share my sister Maureen's death. When I first started doing this, and slowly but surely as I've, you know, started to, you know, go through it, I mean, I live with it like everybody else does. I've changed the way I present it, and I'm more honest about my own life, and to include stuff I didn't include in there at the start. So it's been, the last year has been crazy. But that's what it is, Bob. It doesn't discriminate on where you got it, how old you were. You know, that my trauma is more legitimate than your trauma. And I go back to an interview that I did with a girl who wrote a book. Her name's Athena Ives. And she wrote a book called Thank You for Raping Me, and which is an odd title, right? And deliberately. And so she tells a story about, you know, the trajectory her life was on. And then she gets raped, I think not once but twice. And she has to fundamentally rethink her life. And it transforms her life. And so she came on and we were having a conversation and she said, you know, one of the things that irritates me is when people who haven't been through what I've been through or things that are as significant as the things that I've been through, you know, talk about how hard their lives are. And I, not normally
yeah,
being
I just
afraid.
Roll my eye.
Well, right, and I not normally being afraid to dial up the awkward meter said, I said, well, I think you're wrong about that. And she said, why? I said, are you like the trauma judge? You get to judge, you know, for and we kind of had this exchange because she disagreed with me. And then she wrote me a note a day or two later and she said, I want to thank you for teaching me something. She said, I'm embarrassed that I said that stuff. I said, look, if I'd be embarrassed to tell you the shit I said that was in judgment of people that committed suicide because, they were a truck driver at Al-Asad in 2009 when Los Angeles was more dangerous than Al-Asad. I didn't know what went on in their lives, and I said that stuff, and somebody taught me that. But, you know, it's this whole experience of traumatic experiences don't discriminate, and the truths that go with those traumatic experiences, you know, are so important to share. And so I'm excited. I mean, I go back doing it on Friday down in Miramar, and then all next week I'm in doing.
Yeah, I just looked at your schedule. Yeah,
the 2nd Marine Air Wing next week, and a little bit with the division too.
But when you think, like, you had the sergeant that got the Navy Cross, when he opened up on your show, and he was talking about what he'd been through and the drinking and all that stuff, and then you got Andy Milbourne, who was one hell of a Marine from everything I can read, and he opens up and starts talking about the things he's been through. And you get that happening on your program, and if you get people talking and you get people listening, It's unbelievable. And it all ties into the post-traumatic winning. It all comes together. And I've had friends of mine totally unconnected with the military that I said, go look at your website. Go look at this. Go look at these Ten Commandments and follow it.
Yeah.
And it's unbelievable.
Well, you know, what is amazing is that if I were to tell you that a trend on All Marine Radio, there is a trend where people, they feel comfortable inside their own community, and they somehow or other, because Tim said the same thing to me the other day. He said, you know, I didn't intend to do that. It's not like I was coming on the show, right? It's not like I was coming on the show to do that. He said, but
to go to confession.
Yeah, but once it started, you know, I didn't, you know, I think he said, I didn't want to stop it. Not only, you know, I didn't stop, but I didn't want to stop because, you know, and everybody has this, and Andy Milburn talked, you know, about the death of his, what, 23-year-old daughter.
Right. Exactly, and then he's going back for a combat tour.
Yeah, and he, you know, so it's a normal interview about a book that's coming out, and all of a sudden he drops that on you, and you're like, what the fuck did he just say? And it's like, and then later on he said the same thing. He said, yeah, Mac, I've never talked like about that in public before, but it just seemed like the right time to bring it up. And so to me it's. It's amazing. It's an amazing thing to host.
Men and women like this that are rock hard pillars of the community, opening up and talking about the shit they've been through. I mean, I was dead serious when I told Tim Lynch that, God damn, I wish I'd heard this 55 years ago. You would have been such a savior for so many Vietnam vets, because all they did was bury the shit, you know, and lock it up. And you can't do that. You just can't do that.
Well, and I'll tell you what, that's to me what's exciting about this, Bob, is, you know, that in another week, the 2nd Marine Division, we will have completed a year. So the statistical, you'll at least have the statistics. So a 12-month decrease of, right now it sits at 75% lower.
Yeah.
No, I'm sorry, 66% lower, and then a 2-year decrease of over 50%. So in that running average. So if you look at it, you know, it's so important, and I get this from the mental health professionals. It's so important that you guys say that, because we can say the same thing, and it doesn't land with a thud.
Right?
But when you stand up there with your credibility, and that credibility transfers to the community as well. And that, to me...
If Furness gives the opening speech and he talks about the trauma he's had, you know, I mean, it's unbelievable.
Right. And so, as I said before, the thing I love about post-traumatic winning is that it is not a military thing. It applies to everybody. And that we as veterans can take this wisdom that comes from our culture, and we can help change the way the country looks at it. And we need to, because young people, I mean, are killing themselves in greater numbers simply because they're overwhelmed. And part of what they're overwhelmed with is trauma. And we can look at them and say, it ain't never going away. And that's
look
right.
at the ones in colleges and all that kind of stuff.
Right.
And that's not even touching first responders who you've begun to get inroads with.
Yep.
You know, I mean, it's bigger than all of us realize put together, and it's got a momentum now. That's what's beautiful about this.
Yeah, and it keeps but again, it keeps happening. Like the if you haven't listened to the Tim Lynch interviews, go find them. they happened a week ago, and I put them both together, and it's an amazing interview as Tim starts talking about being homeless. And
Sergeant Workman and Milborn, any one of them. Go ahead.
Yeah, listen.
I mean,
to
they're
them.
Unbelievable.
And
they're truly unbelievable.
Yeah.
And it shows that everybody has got this in one fashion or another, but you got to talk about it. You got to open up. And then when you start helping others, I mean, Look what's happened to me with 100 entrepreneurs. I'm doing the best thing I ever did in my life, and I built buildings all over the world. You know?
No. No, and let me tell you, and it's not like it's a hard, when you do the evaluation, it's not like it's your thing, is this better than that? The only thing that I've done better than post-traumatic winning is, you know, my kids.
Oh, yeah, your family.
Right.
Yeah.
And so, but beyond that, of all the things I've ever done in my life, and that's why I look back, like, if you'd have told me in December of 2018, Mac, 2019 is going to be one of the most profound, you know, years of your life. I would have said, yeah, right. Look.
And Mac, Christmas Eve, I got a Christmas card from a wounded vet I'd helped 12 years ago. I listened to him 12 years ago when he was bouncing around ideas, a double amputee at Walter Reed, the old Walter Reed. And he sent me a Christmas card. He's got a wife and two kids, and he's got a business phone. He's got 100 employees. And he says, thank you. I mean, holy shit, how great is that?
You can't
get anything better than that.
No, that's what I was talking about. That's you know, I'm sitting in my kitchen yesterday doing dishes and trying to stay out of my daughter-in-law's way as she makes dinner, and all of a sudden Andrew sends us, you know, this text message. I forwarded it to Bob because you've been so much a part of this, and it would not have happened were it not for you and in your support and the support of 100 entrepreneurs. But the but you just all of a sudden you're having a good day, and all of a sudden your day gets, you know, goes into outer space because of just how.
And you and I have talked about it, but you look at Pat Horan, and he sets up a blog on Facebook to get vets with traumatic brain injury and epilepsy. If you've got questions, call me to talk. I mean, he aims it at the caregivers. But so many of them, when they come down with epilepsy from traumatic brain injury, they have nobody to talk to. So here's Pat, who lost, you know, a fist-sized chunk of his brain up with other vets.
And right.
Now, you can't measure that in dollars. You can't measure that remotely in dollars. But Pat and Patty are doing a life-saving goddamn exercise. I mean, that's what's the key to all this is you end up helping others.
The well, and again, and as I say, that is the drug, right? That is the drug that you need. That is a drug.
Yep.
That is the drug that you need. Now, I don't know if you saw this. You know, you probably didn't, but there's a headline in Stars and Stripes today, among their major headlines. Former Marine Colonel pitches Australian-American amphibious force in Western Pacific. Grant Newsham.
Yeah, I missed that. Yeah.
Grant Newsham, now a senior researcher with the Japan Forum for Strategic Studies in Tokyo. Said Monday that the Marine Corps, which rotates 2,500 Marines through Darwin during the summer, needs to see Australia as more than just a great place to train. Quote, I look at it as more of an opportunity to influence not just in Australia, but right now the heart of Southeast Asia. Grant Newsham.
Absolutely.
There you have it.
And so, Grant's forgotten more about Southeast Asia than the rest of us will ever learn.
Well, he's going to be one of those guys.
Yeah.
He's going to be one of those guys who will, you know, who got involved in something well before it was cool, right?
Yeah.
Well before it was cool. And then all of a sudden the world turns in that direction. And here's Grant Newsham standing there eating a peanut butter and jelly sandwich with more knowledge than anybody in the world has about it. And
you got to get that lady from Iran back on, too.
Yes.
Or her twin sister or a brother or something.
Yeah, that's hard.
That was phenomenal.
She's gone dark on me, so.
Oh, I'm sure. She's probably scared shitless, but boy, she was good.
Anyway. All right.
We need that insight.
Anything else before I let you go today?
Yeah. Tell your fans to keep paying attention to your Ten Commandments and tell them keep supporting All Marine Radio and keep supporting 100 Entrepreneurs. We appreciate it, and thank you for all their help.
Got it. All right, Bob. Thank you for all your help. You guys have been great.
Keep up the good job. Thank you.
Yeah. Happy New Year. There you have it, the one and only Robert Nielsen here on a Tuesday edition of All Marine Radio. I've got to do shithole weather. The We'll take a break. We'll come back. I'll do shithole weather. Right. F-18 man said, hey, double check and make sure your gate locked so your dogs don't get out. Are you kidding me? So we'll take a break. I'll check the gate. We'll come back. We'll do shithole weather. And then we'll go to, we'll do a little World War II history today. On the Tuesday before, on the Tuesday, the last day of the year. So don't go away. More Bomb Marine Radio coming up next right here on your home for it, the All Warrior Radio Network.
More than 2 million Americans have served in Iraq and Afghanistan, and the Department of Veterans Affairs reports that approximately 11 to 20% of those warriors may have experienced symptoms of post-traumatic stress disorder. As we recognize PTSD Awareness Month, Real Warriors Campaign volunteer Meg Mitchum, a former Army combat medic who served in Iraq, encourages fellow warriors to reach out when they need help.
The hardest step was admitting that I needed help coping with PTSD. Once I did, my command and unit fully supported me, and I was able to get the care I needed. Getting support helped me succeed in the military and now in my civilian career.
If you or a loved one is coping with an invisible wound, resources are available and they work. For more information, visit the Real Warriors campaign at realwarriors.net or call 866-966-1020.
We all have the ability to touch the lives of those around us. Moms, dads, neighbors, teachers, friends. These are the people who are always there to listen when we need to talk. Though their actions may not always be monumental, they are always felt. To someone going through a difficult time, a text, a call, or a visit can mean so much. Reach out to the veterans in your life today. Let them know they're not alone. One simple act can make all the difference. That's the power of one. If you're a veteran in crisis or know one who is, visit veteranscrisisline.net for free 24/7 confidential support. Or call 1-800-273-8255 and press 1.
All you veterans, listen up. This is Bob Nielsen, former Marine and founder of the 100 Entrepreneurs Project. Turner Construction is looking for veterans with real-world leadership experience to join their team of professionals.
Hold on, Nielsen. Are we talking about a job or a career?
Matt, Turner Construction is a great company with global opportunities for veteran leaders who are looking to start professional careers. I know. I returned to Turner after I got back from Vietnam and retired after 50 years. I had a great career traveling the world leading teams of Turner employees as we built incredible projects.
Are they looking for me to have construction experience, Bob?
Absolutely not. Turner is looking for leaders who have led under pressure. We want leadership. So if you're led in Iraq or Afghanistan or any other contingency, Turner Construction is actively looking for you.
So, a career with competitive pay, good benefits, and a company seeking veteran leaders. That's what we're talking about.
Bingo. We're on the right road when a grunt can understand it. Good job, Mac.
I appreciate that there, Nielsen. How do I get the ball rolling? What do I do?
Just email your resume to jobs@allmarineradio.com, and I will personally contact you and we'll begin the process.
I love it. Turner Construction is looking for veteran leaders who are looking for careers to join their veteran-friendly team. Email Bob Nielsen at jobs@allmarineradio.com. Let's do it.
America's injured and critically ill service members face incredible challenges every day of their lives. Since 2004, the Semper Fi Fund has helped thousands of service members and their families with both immediate and long-term needs. Join the Semper Fi Fund in supporting American heroes. They've given so much. Now it's our turn. Learn how your tax-deductible donation makes a real difference in their lives at SemperFiFund.org.